nicest parts of my job is to baptise somebody, because through baptism we bring people into God's universal family, into God's church, or as we might say, into the body of Christ. In the Church of England, the baptism is generally performed by a minister, either a reader or a priest, but broadly, any faithful Christian can baptise in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Of course, if you want your baptism to be noted in church records, then it must be done in church by an authorised minister. For most of us, baptism conventionally takes place at the font. I say conventionally because I did have a colleague who baptised her children in the stream at the bottom of the garden. Conventionally, it takes place at the font. And our church has the font in the traditional place near the doors. It is the traditional place because whereas the doors mark our physical entry into the church, baptism marks our spiritual entry into the church. And in the baptism service, we use that language of being born again. Nothing wacky, being born again. Because in baptism, through God's Holy Spirit, we are born spiritually into the family of God, into the body of Christ. And we experience new life in the life and love of God and God's church. Baptism is one of two sacraments that is recognised by the Church of England. The other, of course, is the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we use that word sacrament because in baptism and Holy Communion, we see something take place that in some way conveys God's glorious grace. And in the early church, baptism was by total immersion. Indeed, the word baptise is from the Greek, and it means to immerse. So being totally immersed in water seemed right, because the newly baptised were totally immersed in the life and love and grace of God. Today, of course, the baptised are still immersed in God's life and love and grace, only we very tamely sprinkle water onto the head. The reading begins with John the Baptist, the gospel reading we had tonight, and the baptism offered by John was not the same as the baptism offered by the church today. Importantly, it was not in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In John's baptism, there was no Holy Spirit present to bring somebody into the life of Christ, or indeed the new covenant made possible by Christ. Rather, John's baptism was simply a sign that the person who had been baptised had repented, that they had recognised their need to change towards living holy lives, to turn towards God. And the water was simply a sign that they had been forgiven by God and had given a new start by God. In St Mark's Gospel, John acknowledges the limitations of his baptism. He knows that a greater baptism was coming through Jesus. And very famously he says this: "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I've baptised you with water, but he will baptise you with the Holy Spirit." So we can imagine John's shock. It's recorded there in Matthew's Gospel, where there's a little bit of a discussion. John's shock as Jesus comes to be baptised by him. The one who is to bring the greater baptism comes to be baptised by John. And Matthew's Gospel records that conversation between an incredulous John and a very insistent Jesus. And it is a good question, isn't it? Why is Jesus baptised? Why is Jesus baptised? He doesn't need to repent. He doesn't need to be forgiven for any sins. Many reasons. We can understand that Jesus was baptised to be part of what John was doing. John was preparing a holy people for God, and Jesus and his ministry was to be part of that. We also know that in some way Jesus' baptism was an initiation for him. It was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry of preaching and teaching, forgiving and healing. And Jesus' baptism represented the start of his 3 years ministry that would lead to the cross. So in baptism, Jesus was doding for us, beginning to do for us, as one who is fully human and fully divine, what we could not do for ourselves. In baptism, Jesus identifies with all humanity without, of course, sharing our sin. And as the dove descends, as the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, so too did Jesus begin a new era when baptism would not just be with water, but would now be with the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's the baptism that we enjoy today. It was a really dramatic moment. I have to say, many of the baptisms that I do are for babies, and by and large, they're nice, calm occasions for family and friends, where the greatest visible drama is when the baby cries. Of course, there is the invisible drama of the tremendous things that God's doing. But the greatest drama, visible drama, is when the baby cries. And I have to say, they don't all do that. Some amazingly continue to sleep. Some look at me slightly puzzled. And some seem to want something more of a bath. Jesus' baptism is not at all calm. If you read St. Mark's version of the events, he describes the skies even as being torn apart. It's quite a violent image. And the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And in that image we hear echoes of the prophet Isaiah. Maybe the prayers of the prophets and maybe even the prayers of Jesus. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. And as that Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, we hear the voice from heaven. In Mark's Gospel, it is a voice for Jesus only. You are my son, beloved. With you I am well pleased. Whereas in Matthew's Gospel, it seems to be a voice that is heard by many. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. So if you like, a public announcement of who Jesus is. And those words echo the writing in Psalm 2, which looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Jesus as the Messiah, you are my beloved son. Saying something about who Jesus is. And Jesus called his followers to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so as we consider Jesus' baptism, his identification with us, how he initiated his ministry, how he made that new life available through baptism, sealed by the Spirit. Let's also think back to our own baptism. Perhaps not remember it, but think back to it. That was the time when we became members of God's church, when we were born again, and so became his adopted children. When we received his Holy Spirit, it was a fantastic moment of God's grace and power. They were at work. We didn't do anything for ourselves in baptism. God accepted us. He brought us into his life. So as our life in God's family began with the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, so does our Christian life today continue through the grace and power of God's Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not quite like when we, you know, try and make a New Year's resolution that is totally unkeepable, you know. I don't know, go to the gym every day or something like that. Resolutions that require us to try harder and do better. The Christian life is not quite like that. Rather, it is about letting God's Spirit work in our lives and listening to his voice as he guides us, or in the words of the hymn as he urges us and inspires us. Listen to that prompting. Where is God's Spirit leading to us, leading us? And listen also to him as he whispers those words that Jesus heard. Words that maybe we can hardly dare believe. You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased. Think about our baptism. We think about what God is calling us to do as part of his family. Indeed, empowering us to do through his Spirit. We imagine ourselves as beloved by God. And so too do we imagine everybody here as a beloved child of God. It's an amazing thought to influence how we treat one another. Each of us here, deeply loved by God. We are one family within the body of Christ, within the life and love of our Heavenly Father. And as one minister put it, in our family, in this family, water is thicker than blood. Such is baptism with the Holy Spirit. Amen.